guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It is that time of the week. The Esports Central podcast is back for episode number 87. And you know what isn't back, Prophecy? Snare on this podcast.
I mean, Snare's just following the chain. He's like promised us that he was going to be here, like a certain half-sized human, and then he's just not pitched up.
Listen, I'm gonna make a behind the scenes reveal here to all our listeners. Whenever Eid comes around, Christmas comes around, Easter comes around, December holidays comes around, it's my most depressed month. You know, usually that's the time you spend with your family. But at this point on this podcast, our family's all still going to buy smokes. I was actually happy that the cigarettes got banned because I thought maybe family members would come back, Prophecy. But we're still here. It's still just us two.
Now they're just waiting in the queues. It's an even better excuse. You know, they're just like queuing outside British American Tobacco Factory, just trying to get in there and grab a pack of smokes. I mean, I heard some nuts figure that, like, in the Eastern Cape at the moment, a packet of Stivies is $150.
No, dude, that is low estimates. I was talking to my cousin yesterday, right? So I'm not going to reveal which cousin. And my grandmother has been a chain smoker from the beginning of time, right? And he is telling me it's $1,000 a carton right now. And not for like Stuyvesant or good cigarettes. This is the off black market garbage cigarettes.
Yes, dude, that's
nuts. A pack of Marlboros goes for $400.
That's wild, dude. That is wild. I mean, like a case of beer, I think, also in the Eastern Cape was like $600-700, I think it was last I heard. I mean, that's like wild. You just like, how desperate are you for like bad beer that you're willing to pay that much for a case?
Yo, I saw that the best meme on Twitter the other day. It's like the South Africans watching when they announced that alcohol is coming back, and it's just like the biggest celebration ever going on. And I was like, yep, that makes sense.
Dude, it is like I would not be anywhere near a like an alcohol dispensary next week, because they are going to be like, it's going to be like the day before lockdown. It is going to be packed with people.
You know, actually talking about this, I've had the smartest idea ever, right? So if you're a tournament organizer in South Africa right now, if you have a pack of Marlboro somewhere, this would be the easiest esports event to run ever. Just be like, first prize, pack of Marlboro Reds. That's it. Finished. 100 people signing up in an instant. I guarantee it.
Well, I mean, if you did two packs, you'd probably get like a lot more people, and then they could probably sell that for a mad profit as well. So it's not too bad of an idea, actually. But you'd have to find two packets of Marlboro Red right now.
Yeah, that is the issue. I'm sure if a TO had that, they would have just smoked it themselves. Feels bad, man. My tournament idea is dead. I wish I was a smoker. Actually, no, I don't. I don't, not at all.
That, I will say, like, I've never smoked a cigarette in my life, and I'm pretty happy for that fact right now during the lockdown, because seeing how much some people are struggling, I was just like, feel you, bro, but thank goodness I never got hooked.
I mean, I genuinely feel bad at this point. It just feels like they're taking the piss with smokers. I mean, alcohol's back. Literally everything's basically going back to normal after 1st of June. Freaking churches are opening, but cigarettes, nah, that's the devil's thing. Fuck that shit.
Yeah. It is weird what people take a dislike to at times.
Yeah, I'm going to whip out my conspiracy theory straight up. Yeah, I can't wait for like 3-4 months down the line when we get like the back scoop on like how government was making money from this, or like how somebody was just making mad bank during this time. It's going to be a wild ride. It's going to be a wild ride.
I mean, and the problem is it's almost expected as well. That's the worst part.
It is. That's just how things go, you know. We're not surprised by those things anymore.
Nope.
It's not just, and that one is just like not even just a depressed like South African government bad thing, just in general. Like when you hear this crazy shit, it's like, we ain't surprised. It's like you've seen one Trump tweet, you've seen them all. You've seen one Elon Musk tweet, you've seen them all. That's just how 2020 is right now.
I mean, 2020 has given us a great many memes, I'll not lie.
The freaking, we were actually talking about this before the podcast, but that funeral, that like party funeral thing, greatest meme ever. Like, top 10 meme format of all time.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with you on that one. Certainly one of the best.
So on this podcast, we do talk about esports occasionally. We wish we were the sports podcast, but like all people involved in esports, we can't actually play sports. So here we are. That was a joke. That was a joke. Nobody get offended. So we have a couple of topics to talk about tonight. Not the biggest podcast ever, like the last three we had where we go super deep into the metagame. This is more just like general things that just happened, right? And this was not a thing that just happened. It is a huge record. So the records we have to talk about today is some big ones. In the world of Dota 2, anybody who's a fan of the game knows about Team Secret right now and the absolute stretch of dominance. This is Prophecy, no doubt, arguably one of the GOAT runs in Dota 2, and statistically that's backed up. And it's not even over just yet. In the last 50 games Team Secret have played, they have won 46 games, right? Their record for the last 100 games they have played is 83-17. The only teams to have better records than that, it was 82-18. The only teams to have better records than that was TI3 Alliance, who had 82-17. No, wait. I'm getting Max wrong.
83-17.
Yes, 83-17.
Yeah, it's the best 100-game stretch, basically.
Which is wild. And the stretch is not over. That's the crazy thing, because Newbie's record now was another record hold in the Dota 2 world, which is still available. I know Newbie's a sour topic after last week, but they won 28 games in a row, and Team Secret is 8 games off breaking that record now, too. This is monumental.
That was a couple of days ago that stat came out as well. So, I mean, they've got quite a few, not quite a few. They've got a couple of chances in the next few days to actually catch up to the record. So it could be over sooner than we think.
It really could. I mean, unless they pull a Liverpool and choke away the record.
I mean,
but I don't see it happening. I'm not a betting man, but I would put money that Team Secret keep their record for the moment.
I mean, Secret has been historically a fantastic team, and like it is online. Maybe it's just easier for them to play online at the moment. They're doing pretty damn well. They've always done traditionally well, though. It's always just sort of like running up to TI when they start having issues. But hey, there's no TI this year, so I guess maybe they're gonna work out a kink.
Oh man, they could probably not lose a game for the rest of the year just because probably. There's no TI,
and then they'll lose like, you know, sixth place at TI.
Oh man, it's so sad. Being a Team Secret fan must be the most heartbreaking thing. Maybe after being a VP fan, the saddest thing ever. It was actually funny that you mentioned that TI thing. Even Team Secret's own Twitter account, which is an amazing Twitter account, by the way, people. The memes are flying out there. They made a tweet. They were like, I think when a new patch came out or something. The Dota account replied, like, hey, Dota 2, how do we fix this problem that we have where we win the whole year and then come August, bad things start happening? It was hilarious.
I'm looking at another stat here that, like, for all 31 orgs that have ever competed in Dota 2 with more than 500 games, so it's the org itself, not individual teams or players. The team with the org with highest winning percentage is actually Secret. 68.2% of all games that they've played won, which is just nuts. That's a crazy stat that, like, more than 500 games, you have 68.2% win record in a game that is, like, notoriously dependent on patches, dependent on players, etc., etc. So clearly Secret knows how to put good players together. They just aren't able to put the run together to win the big one.
I mean, I don't think today's conversation is like the big picture GOAT discussion. It's more like Team Secret focus. But if we have to talk about like being a GOAT in Dota 2, yes, I know we were caught saying on the podcast, or I was caught saying that OG are the best because they won 2 TIs and shit. But that was just 2 tournaments over a period of 10 years, Prophecy. 10 years since TI won till today. Puppy has been at the top, like minimum top 5, usually top 3 in Dota 2 for 10 years straight. That is a fucking phenomenal feat. And the amount of different rosters he's built through Secret. I mean, the initial roster where he had No Tail Fly and stuff, okay, that one didn't last too long, but he had that roster. There was the Dream Team roster with Secret, with like Arteezy and Zai. There was the roster with EE Sama and We Are, he won a major with. I mean, there was last year's roster with Ace, with mid one then. I mean, there's just been so many rosters where he's just done it. It's just been the absolute best. And it's mind-boggling that somebody and a team for so long can be this consistent.
I mean, it just clearly speaks to the fact that Puppy is an absolute master of building rosters. And, you know, that is why Dota is so consistently focused around the great captains that they seem to produce. You know, you talk about Poppy, you talk about Kuro, you talk about No-Tail, I think maybe to a lesser degree in terms of captaincy, but certainly he's a great player. But then you've got Zhao 8 over in China to do the same. Like they just seem to consistently put rosters together, no matter what players are available to them, no matter what the meta is, that they always somehow find a way to be, you know, maybe not the absolute best, but certainly knocking on the door and giving the absolute best quite a lot of trouble. And it is staggering that Puppy's been able to do it for 10 years, because most people would say, you know, esports 5-6 years ago, they'd say, oh, you know, by the time you're 24, you're done, you're like, your reflexes are shot, you're too old to play. It's like, here's Puppy. I mean, he's what, he's 30, if not, I mean, like, close to it at the very least.
Close to it.
And he's been at or near the top better part of 10 years. That's wild. That is wild.
And I think the point you mentioned earlier about in a game like Dota 2 to have that kind of record is crazy, because if we look at the sports sphere, I mean, there's been a lot of GOAT discussions. I mean, tennis, yeah. You have
there's a GOAT discussion in every sport just by nature of the sport.
Yeah, that's just sport, right? I mean, you have guys like Federer dominating for 20 years, LeBron in the NBA for the last 10 years, but they're playing the same game every day. Dota, there's been a number of different patches, and Dota is a classic game for one patch teams. Like, this team is good for this year, the next year they feel washed, these players aren't good anymore. But yeah, consistently, I mean, I think the most impressive feat for me was when Puppy was playing in that team with like MP and Hezu, and like not the greatest team ever, and yet he still managed to get results. Obviously, he wasn't winning majors and stuff there, but he still, with a team without the all-star players, managed to do these things. But this current run, I think, it might arguably be one of his greatest achievements so far if he manages to break the record and they keep up going at the pace that they are right now.
Well, I mean, like, even if they don't nab all the achievements, it is spectacular that, like, he can still motivate them to get to this point, because it takes a hell of a lot of concentration, takes a hell of a lot of motivation to keep players going on those kind of runs. It's like, yeah, you know, it's like, once we hit those crazy stats, it's great, but like, players start to lose a little bit of motivation every day. It's like, you know, like, do we really have to work this hard to continue staying at the best? And that's why they always say getting to the top is easy, but once you're at the top, you become everybody's target. And it's absolutely staggering that he's able to put this together. I mean, they're also on course for like one of the most one of the best stats ever for like 150 game runs or something like that. I think Alliance currently holds it, but Secret's close on their tail as well. So it is absolutely nuts that over 150 games with this roster, they've been able to put together a run as good as this has been.
Yeah, and we did mention Puppy now already, but another player that I'd really like to shout out is Nisha. So Nisha last year was regarded as maybe not the best carry, or maybe, I mean, some argued as best carry. I made the argument as best carry, but at least top two carry along with Ramses, who was on VP last year, although he didn't have his greatest year last year either. But so he was like already in the conversation of like the best carry in the world throughout last year. And he played well like throughout the year. And at TI, although Team Secret didn't do well, Nisha pulled his weight like a few times over. I honestly think he played like a beast. And then this year, the year starts and he goes from carry hero to mid lane, right? So he changes roles. And it's not like one of those mid laners where it's like, you know, when you see maybe in a game, you know, he's going to play like Storm Spirit. He's going to play like Ember Spirit. He's going to play like Invoker. Like
a hard carry in the mid lane, essentially.
Right. He plays such a wide variety of heroes. Like, he even plays cheese heroes like Meepo and stuff. And now for the second year on a new role, he's the best player in his role. I don't think I've seen a feat like this before in Dota. So this roster is literally gunning for all the records right now, really.
I mean, couldn't you say that Zai also was like, you know, well, probably the best sport, and then for at least a time transitioned into being the best off laner at a stage? Or would you say that was
okay,
like,
no, that is a perfect example, actually. Obviously, that is a great, great example. Maybe that's actually even a better one, because I mean, support to off lane is probably a bigger switch than carry to mid, which is not that different. Do you know who else is on Team Secret still to date? Today, Prophet, he's still Zai. He's still there.
I mean, so who is this? Yeah, this secret roster then? Because it's so, Puppy, it's Zai, it's Nisha. Who else is on it?
I know it's Puppy, Puppy, Puppy Pause 5, Yapso Pause 4, Zai pause 3, Nisha pause 2, and Matumbo Man is now position 1. So that was also one of the kind of like biggest talked about changes last year when Matumbo Man was kicked from Team Liquid, well, for former Team Liquid with Kuroki's team. And then I think this year when he got picked up from Team Secret, I was like, I'm so happy for him. Because it was always a case of Matumbo Man used to, on Liquid, sat in Miracle Shadow, right? He was always the guy who was like, yes, he was the carry player, but he was really the number two in that team. It was just he used to play his game to kind of cater to Miracle. It was a very one, like, full protect one kind of style. Whereas in Secret, he got a completely new role. This guy is the true pause one of the team. Yeah, Nisha's the star player, I would say. But Matumbo Man, he plays the hard carries. And he's been doing a phenomenal job of it so far.
All right. Okay. I mean, that I think clearly is then going to contribute is that if Matumbo Man is put into a position where he can be the hard farmer, but he's not necessarily the one that's going to receive the most focus, that probably is going to help both players do better. And it certainly seems like it, given the stats that they're putting up at the moment. I mean, what tournaments are going on at the moment? It's like ESL One Birmingham, isn't it? The online section of it is happening at the moment.
So currently that's the one going on. So there was a tournament that was running a day before that, the OGA Dota Pit, where Team Secret won. And then there was a tournament before that. I don't remember the name, but we did speak about it on this podcast. I'm pretty sure that they won as well. So there's been like online tournaments, literally chain tournaments for Dota 2. The Dota has not stopped for like half a second. It was ESL Los Angeles. That was the tournament before OGA Dota Pit. I just remembered it now. So it'll be interesting to see, although Secret have their current run of dominance that we don't see ending now, if they'll be able to carry the momentum all the way to TI. Because obviously, with Corona and all that stuff going on right now, there will be no TI now in the usual time of August, December. It has been moved up to next year. So it is a long time before TI. Yeah. Before we could see a TI come out. So it'll be sad if you see they kind of start to fizzle out by the time, you know, TI season actually comes through. But It is an interesting thing to think about going forward, right, Prof?
I think it's definitely something to consider, and that is the one worry that we've had with, or certainly that you could have if you were a Secret fan, is that they've always historically done fantastically well in sort of the months leading up to TI, and then about a month, maybe two months before TI starts, they're sort of going off the boil a little bit, and by the time they get to TI, they're always difficult to put away. But they never like the all-conquering Secret that always shows up between January and like May.
I mean, that is an interesting point to bring up, because even though Team Secret for all these years have been ultra dominant, outside of TI5, when they had the Arteezy Zaya roster with Kuroki there, I don't think they've ever gone into a TI as the out-and-out favorite, to be honest.
Yeah, they've always been one of the favorites, but never like, you know, like odds on, will 100% win this kind of thing, yeah. Which is, we've had other teams that come out of nowhere to do it, but Secret's like, they've always been, you always have to consider them, but they never like the main guy in the room. And I think that maybe that's held them back a little bit in that, you know, they do so well earlier in the season that the pressure becomes in their own minds that they have to do it, and then they end up collapsing it. Could be something to do with Puppy and not being able to do it, because for all Puppy's skill that we say, you know, he can build these teams up and consistently get them to the top, must be remembered that despite being a TI winner, he was not the captain of that TI winning team.
Yeah, that and, Navi team that won, he wasn't the captain. That's a good point to bring up.
He was just the support player at the time. So the fact that he's made the next two finals after that and has just never been able to get back, I do think is a little bit of a stain on his record. Certainly, it's a magnificent record to have, and you certainly can't take that away from him. But at the end of the day, the fact that he's just not been able to get his teams even to the final in the last 6 years or so, despite having as good teams as he's had, is, I think, a little bit of a mark against him in terms of just TI.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. And I think, funny enough, I think this year, if TI was going to happen, like at the usual time in August, they would have been undisputed favorites. I mean, it's still kind of early in the year. It's only June now, like getting into June, but they would have to be. I mean, the year they had is just crazy. But yeah, we'll have to find out. I mean, TI is still a far, far away time from now. The Battle Pass has come out, though, which has broken Dota completely.
CSGO. I just need to point that out. The same day the TI Battle Pass dropped, the CSGO servers went into an absolute meltdown for a good couple of hours.
I've got to be the highlight of the whole Battle Pass for me. I mean, TI Battle Pass comes out, it completely breaks the Dota game. You can't even get onto the website to look at the Battle Pass or anything like that. And while all that's going on, there's constant updates on the Dota 2 Twitter account, like, yo, we understand that this problem's going on at the moment, we're working to resolve them and such. CSGO server drops. How many tweets you guys got there, Prophecy?
Nothing. We didn't even see a tweet. We just got a Soz bro. Wish we could help.
Damn, dude.
No, they didn't say nothing. It's just like, I think they just like points out exactly what kind of world we live in CSGO when it comes to Valve's attention.
I got an analogy, right? So Dota is obviously Gaben's favorite son, his prize boy, you know? And CSGO is like, it's just like, you know how all our family members dealt with us on this podcast. They went out to buy smokes and never seen again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, could we say that Dota 2 is Tamir and CSGO is Camille?
Perfect analogy. That is top tier stuff right there. That is great. So the topic of Go discussion is not over just yet for Team Secret.
It'll never be over. But
it will never be
it's
over.
It's always something to bring up. I think it's always a good conversation piece.
Although another dynasty on the other opposite side for the Camille Valve game CS:GO, there's been some changes happening there as well to the All Star roster, arguably the goats of CS:GO, Astralis, Hey Prophecy.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't spoken about it much, but a couple of weird happenings in the last month or two for Astralis especially. About 2 months ago, they announced that they were going to be picking up a sixth player, sort of as like a rotating sub almost, which is a bit odd because CSGO doesn't really have subs. Like League of Legends does it, and that kind of works. Dota doesn't do it. CSGO doesn't do it. Most esports, just because the low number of players, you can't really easily swap out a player given how important they are. So it's been less often used in a lot of the big esports, but CSGO particularly hasn't seen it very often. So CSGO or Astralis comes out, they announce they picked up a young player or a youngish player by the name of Essetag, and that he will be their designated sub. And I mean, it's a bit odd. Most of us were like, oh, all right, don't really see why. Like, maybe one of the players is going to have a problem. You know, like, maybe the one of the players is like, got an injury or something and need to sit out a portion. But generally, you wouldn't trade out a player. And certainly, like, the Astralis core is I think, generally agreed upon as being the greatest of all time. So, Essetag isn't really a player that has the kind of potential to get onto the team. He's not, like, a superstar player. He's not really a highly regarded player either. Like, he's good, but he's not GOAT status type thing. So it just seems odd that he would be considered for the team. But anyway, people are willing to accept it. A month later, more news comes out that Astralis is now picking up another player called Yugi. Now, Yugi was good in 2017. Yugi hasn't been good since 2017. He's been on a consistent downward trajectory to the point that he got kicked from like the third or fourth best Danish team about a month before that, and the news of like Astralis now going to a seven-man roster, like six, you could maybe justify it with like Essetag had played a lot of roles, he had done a whole bunch of different things, so he's very adaptable. But now it comes out that, like, you're going to pick up Yugi, who is ostensibly an AWPer, and Astralis has one of the best, if not the best AWPer all round AWPers to ever play the game. So it's like, it's a very, very weird situation to see that they pick up a seventh player. But anyway, story's official, you know, he's going to be joining us, etc., etc. And we all sit in there wondering. News comes out last week that Glaive, the in-game leader of the team, one of the most important players of the team, and certainly one of the hardest working players in the scene, is going to be stepping down for 3 months. He said that he has stress-related problems and he's burnt out. Look, that is a perfectly fair assessment. I think everybody's dealt with some levels of stress and quite a few times when you felt burnt out and all the rest. And in the kind of environment that CSGO is currently operating in, with constant tournaments going on in the online space, games every day, it is fully justified that Glaive should be allowed to take rest. Nobody holds that back against him. And they're going to be shifting Yugi into his place. So it's a bit odd. But all right, we can again. You know.
Okay, so one question. So sure. Yugi is the new guy that they decided Yugi to recruit after.
Player, yes.
After they already have player. A sixth player.
Yes, Esetag is the sixth player, but he can only join when his contract runs out. So again, remember, they're only buying him at the end of the contract. They're not buying him out of the contract.
Okay.
So they're not paying money for either of these two players. And that's the critical thing. Because in these times, Astralis also announced that they had to, like, that they announced that their big earning employees, so the high earners in the organization, which would most likely be the players, are going to take a 30% pay cut. Right? Now they've picked up two additional players. Their IGL, the in-game leader, has gone on medical leave as of last week. And about 2 or 3 hours, maybe a little bit more before this podcast went live, there was a breaking story that another member of Astralis, Zipix, one of the longest standing members of that roster, who's been there since 2013, is now not playing with them. We don't have any official news. Apparently, it's a temporary leave, but there's no indication for how long. There's no indication what the reason is. But Astralis seems to be in a massive tizzy because all of a sudden they're like asking a whole bunch of teams whether they can try and buy players that are either on the bench or just out of contract. They're trying to get hold of all these players seemingly overnight. And that leaves a lot of questions because all of a sudden Astralis, one of the most or the most decorated and certainly one of the most successful teams of all time in CSGO, has now dropped two of the players from the GOAT roster have just walked out within a week of one another. Both are apparently temporary. The one we know is coming back in 3 months. The other one, we have no indication of why he's walked out, like how long he's walked out for and what the circumstances are. Now, if they're personal circumstances, again, man is perfectly allowed to do that. If it's medical, you know, we're not going to hold anything back from these people if there is a legitimate reason. But the problem is that Astralis has consistently over the last couple of months been trying to push this thing, or they're like trying to make like a professional organization. You know, they're picking up a sixth man because this is the way they believe things will be going. And they're like going to pick up a seventh man because like they need like the subs. But then what's actually happening doesn't track with the story. Like, what the fuck is going on in this situation? Because it doesn't make any sense. Why do you pick up a sixth player in a game that never uses a sixth player? Why do you pick up a seventh player in a game that doesn't use a sixth player? You say that everybody on the roster, or you say people in your org are taking a 30% pay cut, but you're signing two new players to your org.
It's mind-boggling stuff, Prof. Because, I mean, like you said, if the players are having issues or whatever, you're not going to like hold it against them if they want to take breaks for personal reasons and stuff. And I 100% hold that opinion. If these guys don't want to play, they don't have to fucking play. I mean, we saw in the NBA, Dennis Rodman, if he wanted to go to Vegas for 2 weeks, that's what he just did. He didn't give a shit the season was going. But if I look at it from an orcs perspective, obviously we don't know all the details just yet of Zipix leaving. This is ridiculous. This is absolutely astonishing.
Why do you paint it as anything other than it is? Oh, you guys have to go off on medical leave. Great. Why was there like 2 months of PR about how this is like the thing that they've been looking to do for a while now? Like, what cuck is this, bro? Just like, just be honest about it. Just say that, like, oh, you know, like we have one of our players might be having a medical issue in the next month or so, and we're just picking up this guy to, you know, to get us through that period. Why the bullshit story?
This could be a sign of orb crumbling. I mean, if you have a 30% pay cut, and I'm sure these Astralis players are getting paid massive salaries, that is a big deal, right? Two players are now miraculously stepping down after your pay cuts happen. I mean, there could be some big changes coming through the Astralis organization in some time. I mean, there was already two players gone, but I mean, like you said, the first guy you mentioned, the young guy coming in, it made sense to me. Like, okay, if one of the guys want to take a break or something, you have a new guy to stand in, you have like a young guy who could be molded by these literally GOAT-tier players. But now it's like you're getting some has-been coming to your team. You get a young guy now with the IGL leaving. Like, oh yeah, okay, maybe you guys are going to come back. Sure, but why didn't they just say that? Like, this doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense.
It just smacks of like, something's whatever they're telling us is not what's actually going on. They're trying to distract us from from other things because they just signed, like, I mean, Astralis famously had one of their primary sponsors was Jack Jones, which is a clothing company, and obviously, you know, a very well-known company. They can put quite a bit of money behind Stralis, and they did a lot of PR around it. You know, it was a pretty well-known brand. And news was released last week that they just gotten a new sponsor, Hummel. Now, if anybody knows Hummel, they're a Danish sports clothing company. They most famously, I think, at a stage sponsored the South African cricket team. So it's like, but you had Jack Jones. How the hell are you getting Hummel now? And there's no news that the cancellation of the Jack Jones contract, et cetera, et cetera. So what is actually going on now? It just feels like a lot of things are going on in the background that Astralis management and ownership are trying to hide by telling other stories. And it's just what's actually happening is clearly not what's being told to us. And a lot of people are starting to get very, very suspicious about how all the stuff is going down, because Astralis has had a couple of notorious problems in the previously. Last year, they obviously... they went on the whole like, oh, we're just taking time off. But then the only tournaments they would play are tournaments that are owned, like the tournament organizer is owned by people connected to the same people that own them. So it's like, you know, things don't track here. And it's not the first time, it probably won't be the last time, but it's not looking good for Astralis. I mean, we, like I said, we're talking about one of the GOAT organizations. Like, imagine if this kind of shit happened with OG in Dota. You know, this kind of shady shit was going on with OG. It's like the players made that organization great. And that organization is like shady as shit right now.
I mean, it's heartbreaking stuff. I can't even imagine what it'd be like to be an Astralis fan. I mean, we're just talking about Team Secret and their historic runs and stuff. I mean, Astralis is already considered the GOAT team in CSGO, right? Yeah. Many consider them that. Now, it's like halfway through the season. I mean, like, if we go back to the Team Secret analogy earlier, it's like if Poppy and Yapso just pick up and say, all right, we out, we leaving, here's some shitheads to come in. And I get, Dota 2 actually has a lot of good tier 2 players. You could see some new 16-year-old kid, like, fucking yeah, take but, over and run away with it. But CSGO Poppy is not like that. Yeah, but not but, replacing but, Poppy.
Yeah, definitely that's the not problem. It's like you could maybe replace one of the like, fraggers in CSGO. That's certainly possible. But, like, replacing Glaive is, like, that's mind-boggling levels of, like, craziness, especially because the player they chose to replace him on the team is Magisk. Now, Magisk is the youngest player on that team. I think he's 21 or 22 this year, right? He's also notorious for being what the community calls the tomato, because when he gets angry in game, which he's famous for, he is famous for, like, raging. He goes like bright red, and it's very difficult for him to hide. Now, why would you choose, like, a guy that is known to be, like, a rage head as your IGL? It's just like, that sounds like a recipe for disaster, because he certainly, like, I've never met Magisk in my life. I've heard that he is, you know, a pretty smart player, but, like, there's a difference between being in-game smart and being smart as an IGL. And IGLs generally tend to be the calmest players in the team. Not always, but generally in high stakes, you know, like in high stakes matches, at points where, like, you absolutely have to have a level head, those are generally where you'll find the best IGLs, because those guys will keep, they'll have ice in their veins. Magisk is not ice. He's lava. He gets, like, so excited in game. So it's like giving that guy control of the team just seems very, very weird. But it makes a lot more sense now, because if Zipix is walking out, a lot of people would have said that, like, you know, Zipix would be the logical one that you choose. Some people have disagreed and said that, like, he's smart in game, but he's not necessarily smart as an IGL type thing. But he'd still be, like, the reasonable person to take over just because of how he plays the game. You'd think, okay, well, Zipix would be the logical choice. But if Zipix is now walking out, it's like, okay, well, you've lost your IGL and you've lost your supporting core. And those are, like, some of the most storied players in the game, those two. Like, you don't just find guys to replace Zipix and Glaive overnight. So it's going to be a very, very interesting situation right now, because we've got the whole circus with, obviously, the online stage. We've got a whole bunch of players that are now going on. We had another player go on medical leave as well. I think another Danish player called Kirby. He walked out of his team, might have been 2 weeks ago, but he apparently had, like, a legitimate medical issue that he's out for. And it just, it's weird that a whole bunch of these players are all of a sudden just taking either medical leave or stress-related leave or burnout-related leave at a time when you think, but you're sitting at home, you know, you're with your family, you're with your girlfriend type thing. Like, it's just odd that that kind of thing is happening to so many players at the moment. Now, again, I'll just reiterate, we don't know that this has happened with Zippix. There is no official reason for why Zippix has left. He just has.
So, I mean, the problem for me with this Astralis thing, Prof, is that, I mean, at the moment, this entire conversation we're having is speculation, right? Because we don't officially know what Glaive or Zippix are doing. I mean, Glaive, he did have his own statement. But the reason we can still fucking sit here in conspiracy theory the whole time is because Astralis has already a shady fucking rep. I mean, they were called Blast Astralis for like a whole year.
Yep.
I mean, they've already done this shitty ass PR campaign. They're getting has-been players coming through. Like, I am not convinced. You can't salary cut, then players start leaving, and then it's like, oh no, they're just taking a break. They're just taking a break. they'll be back, Prophecy.
There's too many different stories going on here for anybody to be like, I'm okay with this. It's just too much shady shit. That's all I'm saying.
And like, usually
shady shit.
Usually, when you see these organizations like Astralis or like the Chinese teams in Dota, like these kind of things are the organizations are owned by like super rich people, like big successful companies. But now in the time of Rona, like Astralis's parent company can't be in the best books now either. It's just a shit show for everybody. Yep.
Well, I mean, the obvious thing is, like, if you look at who was sponsoring teams, like any team that's sponsored by like a clothing manufacturer, they're in deep shit right now because nobody wants to buy clothing that could potentially, you know, it's like one of the things where people say that like you could potentially get sick off of surfaces like clothing, etc., if you buy it. Like, it's, you know, it's not a safe kind of environment. So those businesses, especially in lockdown, they all generally are not the ones that are allowed to trade. We saw it here with the South African supermarkets. They could sell food. Clothing wasn't allowed until about, what, 2-3 weeks ago type thing. So yeah, there's like a lot of... Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was just saying, like, even like just general mentality from people, nobody really wants to go out and go buy like a new pair of jeans or shoes and shit now, right? You're staying at home. You don't want to go out and do those things.
So any clothing-based company like is not going to be doing well. And if they're one of Astralis' major sponsors, you can instantly see where they'd start losing money or something like that. Car companies, they're probably also suffering because nobody's going to buy a new car at this point. You just, first of all, you don't have the money. Secondly, you can't travel anywhere, so why buy one? And like, you know, those are the interesting things. So it's like a lot of these happenings that especially just the way the Astralis is dealing with them, just don't make a lot of sense, because why do they keep changing the story the whole time? Like, oh, it's for this reason. Oh, it's for that reason. We're doing this, but then it's like, but you clearly aren't doing it for that. Like, just be honest with everybody. And like, I think it would, you know, make everybody's life a lot simpler, or there'd be a lot less questions. There'd be a lot less, suspicion around your motives when you say these kind of things. And I think that's the real problem here, is that the Astralis ownership and management haven't been honest, or they haven't been
genuine with us.
Yeah, genuine. There's been very little clarity with how they've been talking, and it is going to bring up questions, because two members of the GOAT team have walked out within a week of one another. Now, they say it's medical for the one. The other one hasn't said anything. And what happens next week if another member of that team walks out? When do we start asking questions about what the fuck is actually going on? And when do you start telling us the fucking truth?
You know what? If the GOAT era run of Astralis is over, all I want, dude, is Last Stance with the theme of Astralis, and then we need to be a Jerry Krause somewhere that's just getting blasted in the whole documentary. Dude, I would pay mad money for that shit.
I mean, look, Astralis has been one of the best branded teams, and there's obviously the famous documentary in League of Legends called Breaking Point about the Team Liquid team just like collapsing in on itself. It would be fascinating if that kind of thing could come out about Astralis, because Astralis has historically been certainly the team that has looked the most professional out of everybody in terms of how their players act and train and play, etc. But if something like that comes out, it would be absolutely fascinating.
That would be mind-boggling. So we went through not many topics today, actually. Just like two main topics, Secret and Astralis, but two very different stories for the moment. It's actually just crazy to think about the parallels. Oh, no, wait, not parallels. The opposites.
I mean, the one is on a goat run. The other one was on a goat run and is now slowly but surely falling apart. So it's going to be very interesting to see how both these teams break out, because Secret obviously could become the best team ever. It just purely in terms of stats at the moment, I think they would have to probably win a TI to put themselves definitely in that candidacy. But Astralis, well, they're going rapidly the other way.
Oh man, I'm laughing, but it is actually just tragic. I'm laughing at the obscenity of it, not at the tragicness of it. Hopefully, even if the Astralis all goes down, I'd love to see that the players, you know, can still keep their mentalities going, can still keep up with the top tier. It'll be sad if they really are broken up, because it is one of those iconic five people together, right? It's not just one of the... It's not like a super team or something. It's guys who came up together and like worked their way to where they are. Kind of like the OG story in Dota 2.
Yeah, well, I mean, three guys, the Astralis Core, Device, Dupree, and Zipix, they've been playing together since 2013. They've been through every team together, apart from like medical related injuries, Dupree having at the one tournament he had to go have his appendix removed halfway through the tournament. They've basically played every single tournament together. So those three, you'd think those three would be the last three to leave. Now Zipix has walked out.
Yeah, that's actually heartbreaking.
It's definitely going to ask questions. Like I said, as far as we know, it's temporary. But if news comes out that it's not, that is an earth-shattering revelation. That's like Scottie Pippen telling Michael Jordan to go fuck himself.
Oof.
It's that level of like, what the fuckness.
So hopefully that won't be the news in a couple of weeks when you're on our next few podcasts. And now we're reaching the end, Prof. Anything else you'd like to add before we say bye-bye?
Not a lot, really. I think just it's been good to see how much esports has been happening, especially in South Africa online. A lot of the online tournaments in CSGO certainly have been getting quite a lot of press. I know that our boys from our first dad from ACGL, they're still running their tournaments. They were getting a couple of props. And I will say that I just want to send a happy birthday to the oldest man in SA esports, Zombie Gamer, Clint.
You the second oldest man. Sargon is a dinosaur. Don't forget that.
Looks at dinosaurs. No, he doesn't look at dinosaurs because he's not even the cool version of an archaeologist.
Actually, I do have I have one last thing to say on the podcast. The coolest thing that's happened this year, the Kidney for Shaz campaign was a success.
Yes, absolutely. I can't believe we actually forgot about that. The Kidney for Shaz campaign was a success. I think they raised, 100,000? Was it grand or dollars? I remember it was 100,000. I know that it was successful. So,
I don't know the exact figures, but to see the entire community in South Africa come together to do something for one of our long-standing and awesome members in the form of Shaz, even Cloud9 guys out there streaming, doing the things like ATK did. They did such a great initiative as well. Like it was heartwarming stuff to see. This is South African esports at his finest, man.
Yeah, looking after one of its own. It's absolutely fantastic, and especially for someone as well-known and well-loved as Shaz. I think it just showed her how much she means to the whole community. So major props to the guys that got involved, major props to everybody that donated, and hopefully it helps Shaz out.
Oh, yeah. That's something, a message we can definitely get behind. So on that heartfelt, warming, Indian message we have for once in this Esports Central podcast, that is the end of the show. Catch us on the Twitter webs at KChikte at _Snare_. I'm going to take this guy's name out of the doc. If he doesn't show up in the next podcast, he's God prophecy. Done with him.
All I'm going to say is that one of our previous dads has intimated that he might make a spectacular return for a podcast or two, but we'll say no more than that.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, my main man, Prophecy at Prophecy Gaming with the CI instead of the usual spelling. And don't forget the publication Esports Central ZA on Facebook, on Twitter, esportscntrl. And of course, on the World Wide Web at esportscentral.co.za. Thank you all for listening. This was episode number 87. We'll be back next week for some more esports fun. Thank you all and goodbye.
Cheers.